Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Oh, yeah, the Weekend Report is on your radio. Happy 4th of July weekend. I hope you have been able to enjoy maybe a little bit of an extended weekend.
Tony, I'm glad. Time to go. I'm glad to see you have all your fingers with you.
Yes. Yes.
They're all there. Perfect. No burns.
No accidents. Setting off fireworks down in Jefferson County. Down at my in-law's house, they 4th of July is their big party every year, and there are no laws against fireworks in any way down there.
Beautiful.
And it's just a full-on salute to America.
So you can set off near bombs if you had them?
It's crazy. It's crazy, but it is a lot of fun, and we all survived, and we are all here with you now for the Weekend Report. I'm Tony Colombo. That, of course, is my partner, Chris Arps. Great to see you, my friend.
Great seeing you, too, my friend.
Our producer, Brian McKenna, is in studio, and most importantly,
you introduce... I want to introduce my great partner in life. Becky Arps is going to do the show with us today.
Trish's wife, Becky, is here with us as well. Becky, thanks so much for stopping by.
It is my pleasure, and I'm so excited that he remembered the right last name.
I know.
I was almost about to say Davidson. I really was.
You almost did it. You know, the 4th of July has become a special holiday for us because in 2017, on the 4th of July, rainy 4th of July at Lake of the Ozarks, Chris got down on one knee and said, "Will you marry me?"
Yes.
Aww. On the 4th?
On the 4th of July.
Nice.
You romantic guy.
And you know what? Let's take it back even crazier. On July 3rd, 2017, I actually hosted the Mark Cox show that afternoon.
Oh.
And as soon as I finished doing the show, I drove to the Ozarks to get prepared to propose to my now wife.
Nice.
So, and then
that
morning,
a great story.
That morning, he asked my dad for my hand in marriage.
Oh, good for you.
You had for you.
It was probably the most stressful breakfast I've ever had because I knew the two of them were sitting on the balcony having a conversation about me. And I know that my dad can occasionally be blunt. And I know
that's good. That's
that, that my husband, now husband, has strong feelings, as you probably guessed.
I do.
And so I was convinced this conversation could go poorly.
Yeah, Chuck's a West Point graduate, so he's very blunt.
Wow. Nice.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. He's just very blunt.
He went to the military academy. So, you know, they're all straight-laced, buttoned up to the top. So
nice.
Very blunt.
Nice.
All right, let's start the show now.
July 4th. I like it.
Let's get into some important stuff.
And here. I may or may not be at the lake right now.
Don't give it away, Tony. Don't give it away.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give away
that.
The secret.
The mystique.
We have a packed show for you today. We have our old friend, Dr. Randy Tobler,
going
to be joining us a little bit later on. Of course, star of the Randy Tobler show, heard every Saturday morning here on FM News Talk.
And a pretty good doctor, I hear, too.
We're going to have Karen Foster on the show with us in a little while. And right now, joining us on the phone, we got to get down to business, Kira Davis, the editor of RedState.com. You've probably seen her as well on Fox News and other places on your television set. And Kira joins us on the Weekend Report. Kira, thanks so much for your time today. Happy 4th of July. How are you?
Hi, good. Happy Independence Day.
Yes. Back at you. So we had a busy week. So we usually start the show with what we call the week in review, where we sort of shoot through some of the biggest stories of the week. And of course, we will be getting to all of those stories and issues as the 2 hours of the show progress. But Kira, I wanted to start with you. And one of the biggest stories of the week is probably this situation with Nike and Colin Kaepernick and President Trump. Nike's back in the news. Colin Kaepernick's back in the news. We have talked a lot about Nike and Colin Kaepernick on this show. I kind of thought that was all behind us, but apparently it is not. What was your take on what we saw this week between the president and Nike and the former quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, at first I wasn't really paying attention to the story, so I just heard Colin Kaepernick was...
Right. I get it.
I just heard he was complaining about the Nike's flag shoes. So I was like, well, maybe they were maybe a bit over the top, or I didn't know. I just kind of ignored it. And then I just happened to see a picture of the shoe. And I saw the Betsy Ross flag on the back, and I was like, wait, this is what we're banning?
This is the one we're offended by?
I was in complete shock. And so at first I was annoyed, and then I was sort of amused by it because this is how insane the left is getting right now. But I think I've moved past all of that to a little bit of concern, because if the Betsy Ross flag is going to start getting marked as offensive, as a representation of slavery, then, you know, that's what the American flag is.
Yeah.
So how far are we from banning the American flag in public places? And I think the majority of Americans certainly wouldn't want that. But as we've seen, these social media mobs seem to have way more power than they probably deserve.
Yeah, and you could say that exact same line, in my opinion, about Colin Kaepernick, way more power than he deserves.
Who is he?
Right, exactly. And to your point about the Betsy Ross flag, when I think of that flag and I think of, you know, that time period in American history, and I go back to learning about American history, that, you know, the 13 stars and the 13 stripes, it all represent the 13 colonies, and it's about the founding fathers, and it's about the beginning of our country. That's the kind of things that I think of when I see that flag. I think of the founding fathers, and I think of the revolution, and I think of us getting our independence and starting as a country. It's not until I get to the states' rights, and, you know, before I start to and Abraham Lincoln, and, you know, all that, before I start to think of slavery. So I don't know why this, a flag that represents, and we were all taught and learned about that flag when it came to founding fathers and the Revolutionary War, that's not a slavery trigger for me. I would more understand if it was some kind of throwback to 1860, but not 1776. It just seems like they're just making stuff up. Somebody told him, like, oh, you know what? That was a flag at the beginning of the country when slavery was still legal. We should say something. And it freaking worked.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly it. I think there was a great article. I didn't finish reading it, but it was in National Review yesterday. I think it was David French. But it was titled, Whatever You're For, I'm Against It. And I think that's where we are right now. I don't think that it's really about the flag. It can't possibly be, because as you so aptly pointed out, Chris, like, there's nothing to be offended by that flag. I think what people want to be offended by is America. They want to be offended by the founding of America. But our history is storied. You know, we can't look back 150, 200 years and say, we can't celebrate this country in 2019 because of what people did then. None of us are the same people. Mm-hmm. None of us are those people. All those people are dead. We're different people. And there's nothing wrong with just recognizing that all of that is a part of our history. That's what I think the flag represents anyway. Even those ugly things, even those uncomfortable things. There's nothing wrong with even looking at that and recognizing that we do have those elements in our national history. And yet here we are today, you and I are on a radio show, you know, two Black Americans just, you know, living our dreams and having, you know, fairly successful lives and careers and education. And we're just a couple of millions, you know, so we have so much to be grateful for. To hear a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who is in a position that most Black people in all of this country's history would give their left arm for. It's always these people who are very comfortable, who are kind of have reached the pinnacles of their career, who are the most successful, the wealthiest. It's like, what are you doing? You're exactly. sitting there complaining about this country and how poorly we've been treated since slavery, and but yet you are so successful and yep. so wealthy and yep. so comfortable.
Kira, let me get your, you know, you stated earlier, you know, we are both African-Americans, and I want to get your opinion on this African-American, Michael Eric Dyson, his comments he made recently.
Yeah, because, you know, words matter, symbols matter, too. Why don't we wear a swastika for July 4th? Because, I don't know, it makes a difference. The cross burning on somebody's lawn. Why don't we just have a Nike, you know, celebration of the cross? Well, because those symbols are symbols of hate.
What do you think of that?
I hadn't heard that. Is he comparing a cross burning to the Betsy Ross flag?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Kira.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right. Right. It's so ridiculous. You can't even reply.
You know what? When I heard it, honestly, the first thing I did was laugh, because if you've ever heard Michael Eric Dyson before, this is nothing new. I mean, he's built an entire career on this. He's been doing this gig for like 30 years now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a job, and he doesn't get royalties unless he makes everyone uber mad about race all the time. So and he's running out of words. You know, he's running out of concepts. He's written dozens of books. So I just think he's running out of ideas.
Hey, Kira.
That's what I think.
You know, a lot of people are kind of up in the air. They're wondering, you know, is Colin Kaepernick really offended about this Betsy Ross flag, or is this some gigantic marketing ploy by Nike and Kaepernick to try to build up shoe sales for the 4th of July and just in general? What's your view?
Boy, man, that's a cynical view, but these are cynical times.
Yeah, but it worked. Didn't it work last time?
No.
Yeah,
it did work last time. I don't know if the Betsy Ross flag is the hill to die on, though.
Yeah,
I mean, last time there were arguments to be made last time. There's hardly an argument here. The argument is among the uneducated Americans. I think it's just Kaepernick just drumming up some publicity. He's like, what's that guy, Sean?
King. You talking about Sean King? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Male Rachel Dolezal.
Yes.
He's like him, you know, when the buzz is getting low. And people do this all the time.
Yeah.
Even on the right, people do this, even among some Black conservatives.
Yeah.
There are people who will just throw out red meat, you know, because you know that it's going to get buzz. You know it's going to get a lot of retweets. It's going to get a lot of coverage. And so when you get a little lonely on Twitter, you throw out these red meat tweets, and then you know, people suck them up and they become viral. That's what I think it is. I think it was just a bit of red meat.
Yep. Kira Davis. We're talking to Kira Davis. She is from redstate.com. Kira, before we let you go, one more question. We've had a lot of discussion on this radio show about the president and the time that even, you know, as he was running for president and now in the couple of years that he has been president and the progress that he has made in the Black community and with the Black voters around the country. The Democrats would have you believe that, you know, it's a support for Republicans and support for somebody like Donald Trump is at an all-time low. But some of the numbers that we're seeing would maybe suggest differently. And we've had people like Burgess Owens on this show many times to sort of talk about the progress that he thinks the Republicans and the president has made. What do you think? Do you think that this president has made some inroads with the Black community and maybe taken some
Absolutely.
Votes away? And why is that? And can we? Do you think we'll continue to see that happen?
Yeah, I thought that in 2016. I don't even think the 2016 numbers are representative of what the Black community did at the polls for Trump. I think that they were a lot higher than the pollsters would say. There was no payoff for saying you were voting for Trump in 2016.
Exactly,
but. So, anecdotally, I feel like, Chris, you could probably have the same experience. Anecdotally, I knew a lot of black people who voted for Trump in 2016. And I know a lot of black people now who didn't, who plan to vote for him now.
Mm-hmm, right.
So black people love Trump. He's a baller. Black people love Donald Trump.
Why?
That's blasphemy, Kira. You know that, don't you?
So, but besides being a just straight baller, why is he the one that's been able to move some votes away from the Democratic Party, which is traditionally? Go ahead.
You know why, Chris? Because black people have sat around and watched Democrats pander to them, mm-hmm. and guilty white people pander to them for the last few years. And you know, you and I know that amongst ourselves, we talk about those weak, lily-livered, you know, SJW white people who want to apologize for their existence as if that's some kind of plus. Like, we talk about those people because we make fun of them. They seem weak to us. Trump doesn't have that weakness. He doesn't care if you call him a racist. He doesn't care. And that's what people respect. People respect a guy who's like, yo, I get that you don't, you know, you think you don't like me, but you know what? Who cares? Yeah. I'm just going to do what I do. I'm going to talk how I talk. I'm not going to change how I talk for you or anybody. And I think people respect that.
Yeah. Great stuff. That is Kira Davis, editor from redstate.com. Kira, if people want to learn more about you, read some of your columns. You had a great Stand for the Anthem column that you released on the 4th of July that I think everybody should go and check out. How can people keep up with you? Website, social media, all that good stuff.
Of course. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, you can find all my writing over at redstate.com. Follow me on Twitter at RealKiraDavis or find me on Facebook. Send me a friend request.
Very good. Excellent. Kira Davis, thank you so much. We hope to have you back on again soon.
Anytime. You know that.
Thank you, Kira.
All right. We got to take a break, but we got plenty more. We're just getting started here on this 4th of July weekend version of the Weekend Report. So don't go anywhere. Back in a minute on FM News Talk 97.1. Weekend Report at FM News Talk 97.1. That's that slow jam.
I wish I could play that. I can play air guitar, play that really well.
You're probably the best air guitar player I've ever known.
But I wish I had the talent to play that.
Yeah.
Well, you know we have a guitar now.
Yeah,
we just have to get it restrung.
I just realized the shirt you had on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was literally this close to wearing my gray Mickey Mouse shirt today.
Just like this one?
It's not the same exact Mickey, but it's a gray shirt with Mickey Mouse on it that says Mickey Mouse.
But it's not an American flag.
It's not an American flag Mickey, but it is a gray Mickey Mouse shirt, and that would have been, I mean, thank God your wife is here because people are already talking about our relationship a lot. if we start dressing alike, then.
So my T-shirt.
I just know that Kristen and I have really good taste because I got him the shirt.
Yes,
So my shirt was $110. How much was your T-shirt?
Not $110.
I'm just saying, you know how expensive.
Look at Peggy's face.
You know how expensive
like,
Disney World
is. Just making it is.
You know how expensive Disney World is. Yeah.
Did you get it at Disney World?
Yes, we got it at Disney World.
So. I got it for him when I went on a family vacation, and then when he and I went back later
that year.
Oh,
I thought we got it when I went.
No.
Okay.
You wore it.
Okay.
So we got a great picture with my Mickey shirt and his Mickey shirt in front of the castle.
Nice.
Kissing. It was great.
And our 7-year-old producer, Brian McKenna, has his Mickey Mouse fruit bowl right in front of us too.
Isn't that cute?
He's super
apples
cute.
And
look
cheese.
Oh.
And yeah.
That is cute. Where's your crackers?
I ate them all.
Oh, okay.
They were good. I knew you'd be coming after them. I had to eat them fast.
We are a little bit embarrassing about our level of love for Disney in our house. Mm. We try to go every year. We try to take the kids every year. We're going in October this year. I have the
You got ink,
Mickey Mouse.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, it's not something that I usually just
like, here, look
even
at my Mickey Mouse tattoo.
Even though I'm doing it now on the radio. Yeah, I have a little Mickey Mouse tattoo on my wrist.
Oh, that's special.
My wife has the Minnie Mouse on her wrist. So.
Not to mention, your wallet is Mickey themed.
Yes.
You have a Lilo and Stitch, I guess USB.
That's keychain.
Keychain.
Lilo and Stitch keychain. Yes. Stitch keychain.
And then all of your folders are Disney.
Are Disney folders,
I didn't
yeah.
know you were Disney like that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Disney
You
over
own stock?
Here, living my best life.
You own stock in the company?
No.
You should.
No. But they own stock in us, I think.
There you go.
We love it. We try to, like I said, we try to go every year. The kids, it's the only place that you can go and you can take a 16-year-old and an 8-year-old that otherwise do nothing but fight and argue and not want to be around each other. And they both have a blast, and they even are able to hang out with each other and have fun.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to be a little bit of a party pooper here, but I really didn't enjoy Disney World.
Yeah.
Really?
Because what I was expecting was Six Flags. I was expecting there were going to be.
Why the hell would you want Six Flags?
Because that's the only because that's the only amusement park that I ever really go to. But I was expecting a Six Flags, a lot of rides, attractions kind of thing. And it's Walt Disney World is not that. It's for kids.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I was there with him.
Yeah.
And we went. This is when the Michael Jackson thing was still over at Epcot.
Oh yeah.
So we went and did that.
I've been to that.
And we went to the adventure area, and I was just like, oh, you know, we got to get going. We got to go do this.
Yeah.
And he became 12.
Yeah.
And he played with everything there. And then
that's
we
what
had
I would
this
do.
Amazing picture of him as Han Solo and me as Princess Leia.
Yes.
The picture that she didn't want me to take because I had sunglasses
on. Now the Star Wars world has opened up there.
I can't wait to see that. My sister has convinced my dad that when the grandkids turn numbers divisible by 5, the family goes to Disney World.
Yeah, love it.
So we are all going for my nephew's 10th birthday next year.
Love it. Yes.
I didn't enjoy Disney World.
We already have this year's trip booked and next year's trip booked.
What?
That's how crazy
are you going to do the Disney cruise?
No, I'm not. I've never been on a cruise. I'm not sure I want to do a cruise.
I've heard it's a really good because
I just don't know if I want to do a cruise, and I'm a little weird.
But the great thing about the cruise, from what I understand, is you go check the kids into the club.
Right. Yeah. You can do that at Disney World too.
An absolute blast.
Yeah.
And you get to be adults and have an absolute blast.
Yeah. You can do that at Disney World too. There's places that just are the kids can just hang out. They're monitored, you know, they have people watching them and they have programs that they can participate in while the parents go and do something else. Mm-hmm. I could go to Disney World by myself and have a blast or just with Christine or with all of our kids.
I need amusement park rides. You know, the only thing was
Space Mountain. Baby?
That was it. That was the only thing that was really thrilling. The
what
rest
about,
of the stuff was for children.
The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
See the problem
Splash
is
Mountain.
He did Disney World with me. And I don't do roller coasters.
I don't either. I don't like roller coasters either.
And so if I didn't tell him about them, they didn't exist.
Right, good. That's smart.
So when he does it with
the
family.
That was very smart.
When we do it with the family, I know that he and my sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a roller coaster with my niece a couple years ago. She had a blast. I was terrified.
I hate roller coasters.
She was 5.
I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm the same way. But they have plenty of roller coasters. And Disney World, dude.
Boring.
Oh, no,
boring.
No, they're really exciting.
I can't talk to you right now.
Sorry.
You're ripping Disney World while you got your Mickey Mouse t-shirt
because
on.
This is the only American theme shirt that I have.
Well, that's sad.
Plain. That's not the only American
that's
theme
sad.
Because you have an aircraft carrier shirt that I brought back from Myrtle Beach.
Yes.
All right, we should probably talk about something serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any thoughts that we didn't get to there with Keira Davis? We talked to Keira Davis in the last segment from Red State. Talked a lot about Nike and Colin Kaepernick. I know your organization also released a statement this week. Did you want to wrap up?
That
any
was a good segue,
on,
Tony, because I had completely forgotten about it. But an organization that I belong to, Project 21, which is nationalcenter.org, and we represent Black Republican and conservative values. And we put out a press release on this Colin Kaepernick deal with the shoes. And one of my quotes from the paper, from the press release, was mentioned on Shannon Bream's show on Fox News.
Nice.
So Horace Cooper, another person, Horace Cooper, who was also with Project 21 that we've had on when I host Annie's show, the Mark show.
Absolutely.
He was on talking about this. So Project 21 got a lot of exposure this week on Fox News regarding this Colin Kaepernick controversy.
And you just, and what are your personal thoughts? Just, you know, 30,000 foot basic reaction to this.
You know what? My mind is blank.
Yeah. Are you like,
I got a lifeline. I wonder if we're doing ourselves a disservice by actually making noise about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're not the only ones making noise about
it. But I mean, everyone that's making noise, all we're doing is playing in and giving them earned media that they don't deserve.
Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Yeah. Fire
Chris,
away.
What is the guy's name again?
Colin?
You're saying Colin Kaepernick?
Well, he's always a mess with
Colin, Colin.
That's a normal thing.
Colin.
You'll get used to that.
Okay.
I mean, look at the way it's spelled, right? I can understand why he's saying it, but I mean, everybody knows.
I just thought he was
Colin.
Trying to insult him by.
I am, dude. I am. Yeah.
Oh, are you?
But
by
I am
calling
kind of
him
both.
A body part?
Well, that's remember they call Colin Powell Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Colin.
I think Colin Powell's name is Colin Powell.
His name is Colin Kaepernick.
His name is Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, well, shouldn't have asked that question.
Yeah, we died on the vine
let's
on that one.
Let's try this one. Bill de Blasio was late, an hour late for a TV interview this week because he was sleeping. We have heard this about him many times, that the knock on him in New York is that he sleeps until 11 o'clock. He never makes, he's missed morning meetings and morning interviews many, many times. And yet this fool is standing on the stage of the Democratic debates last week. How pathetic is Bill de Blasio? And after that first round of debates, do you think we're going to see finally some people that don't stand a chance, like the mayor, drop out and we're going to start whittling this thing down a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the criteria is you have to raise so much money and you have to be at a certain level in the polls to be able to be on the debate stage. I don't see de Blasio.
Do those milestones move up now?
Yes, they
with
do.
Yeah,
you're right.
There were milestones for this first one,
yeah.
And they all hit it. They
and
were
they
very
go,
easy milestones.
Right. And they each go up. I think if you are at 1% in the polls, you have to be at 2%. In the polls this time, you have to raise a certain amount of money more than the previous time. I think de Blasio is just up there because he believes that the more left that he can go, that may give him some chance in this primary because we see the left-wing candidates are doing well, but he is a complete joke.
So are we going to see some next time these debates come around, or even a week from now when we're back here for next week's show? Are we going to finally start to see some of these folks drop out, or are we going to see are we going to have 25 people for a while?
Go ahead, two weeks.
2 weeks, you think?
Because FEC reports are due, second quarter reports are due within about the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So they all have to file their reports, and so now everybody's going to know exactly how much money they did or did not fundraise.
Mm-hmm. And is that how it normally works, or do we normally see it, people drop out? You know, we're going to talk to Karen Fessler, who's been on the show before. She is a political operative in Iowa. Of course, the Iowa caucus is a big deal. Will a lot of people hold on until that, and then when they don't get any votes and they don't make a mark, or will we lose people before that?
I think we're going to lose people before that, but I think the real minor candidates, the Congress people that are barely registering that got on the stage, I think they're going to be out. But I think we're starting to see the race kind of dwindle down to four or five candidates. We're seeing Kamala Harris, Buttigieg, the other three or four. But we're really at about five candidates right now, and I think it's going to dwindle down.
Yep. I didn't see my sign there. What'd you say? All right, very good. Let's talk about the border a little bit. There was some debate. There was some argument on what the actual situation is down at the border. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, your girl, went down there, said that she was afraid of the Border Patrol agents. She felt threatened by our agents at the border. She said that kids were walking around in soiled diapers, that the conditions were absolutely deplorable. Then we had a group
of Hispanic ministers. I don't know if you saw this story, but a group of pastors went down, and their reports were vastly different. It's still a detainee center.
Right.
It's still, you know, a jail, essentially. So it's conditions are not like your living room. But what they saw and what they reported on said that, I think the quote was, vast misinformation or something like that, that was reported by AOC and her group that was down there. These Hispanic pastors said they didn't see kids in soiled diapers. They didn't see deplorable conditions. Mm-hmm. They didn't see kids, you know, starving and all this other stuff that AOC reported. So what is your reaction to AOC starting to really ramp up this situation at the border, dig her heels in, and try to present what we're doing down there as like literal human rights violations? Yeah.
I think this is part of the Democratic Party's 2020 presidential campaign, is to try to paint the president as a racist, to try to paint him as treating these illegal immigrants terrible and having them in the detention centers. What we've seen with these pastors and other people that have gone down there, that this is not the case. And the thing is, what I think most thinking Americans know, that these detention centers weren't designed for 100,000 people a month. They were designed for maybe a couple of thousand people a month to come in, and that it takes time to try to build up detention centers because they're not equipped for that. We have the Democrats in Congress that won't appropriate the money because they say that money is going to go for border wall and other things, and they want assurances that it's going to be for beds. So I think it's just a disaster.
You know, you mentioned beds. That's the other story about this that I haven't seen very much media attention given to. The furniture company Wayfair, they made a deal with a nonprofit that the nonprofit charity supplies a lot of the beds and furniture that is in these detention centers. And Wayfair made a deal where it was a massive amount of literal beds. It was beds. It was all beds. And AOC encouraged the employees of Wayfair to walk out and protest that their company was selling beds to a nonprofit that were going to go and put these beds where she says beds are so desperately needed.
Yeah.
She doesn't want the detention centers to get any better, even though she says she does, because she wants to continue to politicize what's happening down there. You got a thought, Beck?
It just is so hypocritical.
Exactly.
And the Wayfair employees, that just boggled my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about it. She wants more beds for the kids. A deal is made to get more beds, and she protests the deal to get more beds.
For some reason, they think this is a good issue for them to take on the plight of illegal immigrants. We have Beto O'Rourke. We've got Cory Booker. We've got Julian Castro is going down to Mexico visiting people that are in asylum camps. So the Democrats have made a choice that campaigning for and to illegal immigrants is a winner for them this cycle.
We mentioned the Iowa caucus a few minutes ago and what a big deal that is, and sort of will really kick the 2020 presidential campaign into full gear. We have our friend Karen Fessler, who is a political operative in the state of Iowa, very plugged into the political scene down there. We've seen new polls that have Elizabeth Warren leading in Iowa. Leading, not leading like usually when we say one of those Tier 2 candidates are leading. We're talking about they're leading that group. You know, they're ahead of Kamala Harris and Buttigieg and that group. No, she's ahead of Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, which is amazing. So that could make the Iowa caucus even more important than it usually is. And so we're going to get some information on the ground down there in Iowa from our friend Karen Fessler next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
In your presence I feel security, and I miss you.
Well,
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps,
yeah.
Brian McKenna,
yeah.
Becky Arps. Everybody is here today as we celebrate 4th of July weekend with you. We appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here on FM News Talk 97.1 and The Weekend Report. Just mentioned in that last segment that we have our friend Karen Fessler joining us again on the show. Karen is in Iowa. She is a political operative, very engaged and plugged in to the scene down there, the political scene in, I shouldn't say down there, up there in Iowa. And, of course, this is the time of year. Every 4 years, Iowa becomes the eye of the storm, and we are just, from now on, we're just closing in on this, the beginning, the real kickoff of the 2020 presidential campaign, and that will be during the Iowa caucus, which is happening on February 3rd of next year, and already the state of Iowa has been flooded with these Democratic presidential candidates, and it's only going to get crazier and crazier. So we appreciate always the opportunity to talk to Karen, who is down up there in Iowa right now. I don't know why I keep saying down there. Karen, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
We're good. We're good.
Excellent.
Glad to be able to talk to you all today. How's everything there?
It's good. It's not quite as crazy as it is there, and I'm sure you guys, I know it's busy there now, but it's nothing like what you will see in the coming months. The first thing I wanted to talk to you about is this new poll from the Iowa Register, right? Is that the poll, is that where this poll number came from? We saw that Elizabeth Warren is leading in Iowa, leading not the second tier of candidates, but leading above Biden and Bernie and Kamala Harris. Those numbers are kind of surprising to me. I know she did well in the, she was one of the, quote, winners of the last Democratic debates or those first Democratic debates. But to be leading in Iowa, that's a big deal. Have you seen those numbers? And why do you think that is?
I have seen those numbers, and I think that they're right. Elizabeth Warren has a way of connecting with people. And, you know, we sort of have a saying up here in Iowa that we have to meet you 10 times before we commit to vote for you. And, you know, she has been out. She has done the town halls. She has been in the coffee shop. She's been in the ice cream places. And she's meeting with people, and she is really connecting. She picked up an endorsement yesterday from a former Democratic state rep who represented the northwest corner of Iowa, which is Steve King land now. Mm. But she picked him up as an endorsement, and she's picking up a lot of local county elected officials. One of my county supervisors here in the county where I live has endorsed her. She's getting those, and that's a big deal for caucus voters. Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to remind you, the caucuses are 6 months from yesterday.
Ah,
so
wow.
It's not like we're counting down or anything.
Yeah, right. No, not at all. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, Karen, Harris, Kamala Harris has also been rising in the polls. Was that due to her debate performance? And are Harris and Warren, are they competing for the same voters?
No, I don't think they are. And I think Kamala those numbers are totally post-debate. She really hasn't been here very much. She changed her plans, and she's here all weekend. She had a big crowd in West Des Moines last night in the rain, but she still had a big crowd. But I don't think that they're going after the same voters. I think that Elizabeth Warren's voters are the Bernie Sanders people who aren't ready to say he's the guy because he's not a Democrat.
Mm-hmm,
that's
right.
What I hear from so many of my Democratic mm-hmm. friends. But Bernie is not a Democrat.
Is that
so
what's
No, I don't think they're. I don't think they're going after the same voters.
Is that what's hurting Bernie in Iowa? Is that he won't commit to being a Democrat, and if he did, he would get more support?
I think that's a big problem for him here. That was a big problem for him 4 years ago too.
Yeah. Interesting.
One of the things that's so surprising about seeing a poll with Elizabeth Warren's name at the top of it is because we're just so used to at this point of seeing Joe Biden ahead in every poll that we've seen regarding the 2020 election. since the day after the 2016 election, it seems like. What do you attribute that to Elizabeth's dedication to Senator Warren's dedication to being there in Iowa, like you said, visiting all the ice cream shops, shaking all the hands? Or is it a reflection of how poorly Joe Biden has performed to this point in the campaign?
I think it's probably a combination of those two things.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing with Joe Biden is the Democratic electorate in Iowa is much younger than the Republican side. And, you know, there's a lot of people who have been hearing about Joe Biden. And, I mean, he's ancient history to a lot of our younger voters. And I think that's part of his problem. He had the establishment people when he ran for president before and when he was President Obama's vice president. Those people also are moving on. They're like, it's time to, we need to find somebody new. We need a new person. And one of my Democratic friends said to me the other day, we don't need two white guys running against each other for
right?
president.
Yeah. We're talking to Karen Fessler. She is an Iowa political operative. Karen, I imagine being a political person in Iowa, but even just normal everyday Iowa citizens got to be really proud of the Iowa caucus and the weight it carries and how important that state becomes every 4 years in the presidential campaign. How excited does everybody in the state get this time of year as we're closing in on another Iowa caucus and another presidential campaign?
I think people are very excited to always see the candidates. You know, there are parades all over Iowa today, and a lot of the candidates are in those parades.
Yeah.
People will be, you know, along the streets to see them. They appreciate, you know, the handshakes. And, you know, you can go on Facebook from anybody from Iowa, and they've got a picture of one of the candidates. That's just sort of a passage here, you know, rite of passage here in Iowa. But, you know, it is exciting for people, but One of the things you have to keep in mind is that, you know, caucus participation is not like a primary.
Right.
You have to make an appointment, literally, to show up on a sometimes very cold, very snowy winter night to go to your local library, elementary school, church to cast that vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people are excited to meet the candidates, but when it comes down to the caucus time, you have to be committed to do that.
It's a much more personal process.
Much more personal process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Karen Fessler, always great to talk with you. I hope that we can continue to check in with you as we continue through this election season and get closer and closer to the Iowa caucus on February 3rd. If people want to keep up with you or just keep up with what is happening in Iowa, are there any good websites or social media channels they can do that on?
Iowa Starting Line is a good site to follow. They also are on Twitter at Iowa Starting Line. I would recommend that because they are a little more left-leaning, and so, you know, you get a little more information that way. Always following the Des Moines Register at Des Moines Register is a good one as well. And my Twitter is at Gabe's Mom.
Very good. Karen Fessler, great stuff. Hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Karen.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks for your time. All right, we got to take a break, and we have a whole second hour of the Weekend Report coming up, so plenty more coming your way. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1.
Laying in a warm bed still.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.